Welcome. We welcome you here today and welcome Church Online. We're going to get started. First of all, if you're visiting with us today, we want you to relax and just have a great time worshiping the Lord on this beautiful day. And it'd be nice to have a couple good days. We had some storms in there, but nice to have some beautiful days that we can enjoy these things. But we really want you to connect and have a great time. If you are visiting, we do want you to go ahead. We'd love for you to fill out the card and just so that we can stay in touch with you. Paris Foundation on June the 16th, which is also another day. Anybody know what it is? Father's Day, yes. On Father's Day, that's when they will be serving. Mike, we need to add some opportunities. Okay, there's several opportunities, which means there's gaps if you want to go ahead and connect with that on Father's Day. Also that day, we have the baby bottle drive. We see some baby bottles that are around. If you take them, doesn't mean you're going to have a baby. It means that you're going to get, I know some people are like me. What it does mean is what we've been doing since Mother's Day. We're supporting the pregnancy shelter, Cecil County Pregnancy Shelter. You can fill that out with change, with money, with check, whatever else. We collect them, give them out on Mother's Day, collect them on Father's Day, and then we give that money directly back to the Cecil County Pregnancy Center for everything that that they do in the ministry that they serve. Haiti mission trip, you see this here. John's doing a great job of coloring that in, and it's going up further and further. So we want to thank you if you'd like to contribute to that. Right now there are 15 people that are planning on going on August the 3rd, and this will go help with the mission ministries that we're doing there. So we'd love for you to help contribute to that if you can. So today there will be no youth meeting after church, and also due to some personal issues, there's no middle school class today. So middle school students can hang in here, and I'm going to be your entertainment teacher today. All right, so we're glad for that. Also, you have in the bulletin we have a blurb in there about Stephen Ministry, about becoming a Stephen minister. This gives you a little bit more information, so you're going to hear more about that in the weeks and months to come. You'll see some video clips that'll explain some of that. But we also would love for you to connect. And if you ever felt that you could be at service or help with people, it's a great training. It's an awesome way to, because God never intended for us to do life alone, correct? He wanted us to do life together. So we definitely want to go ahead and lift those announcements up, okay? Also, one of the things that I'm going to do, we're going to kind of put out this week, and you can jot this down if you want to. If you know of someone who's graduated college or graduating high school, we'd like for you to just put graduate and their name and put it in an email to info@havencc.org. Okay, we'll put that out, so there'll also be a link, because we'd love to just honor those graduates for doing so, okay? Our prayers, we have a couple prayer requests today. Number one, I want to start with, I know Jen is here, and we prayed for her nephew who went missing in October, is that correct? And they did find his body, correct, on a trail, and he was 20, what? Just turned 30. Please be with a family and praying for them. There is some closure that they can receive his body back. But we know this is a big tragedy as he was hiking, and the worst is definitely revealed. So we want to continue to lift her family in your prayers. Also for the Shadowford family and the Jackson family, keep them in your thoughts and prayer for a burial, which is June 6th in our community. We want to definitely lift that family up with the tragedies that they've had. For Rig and Sarah Mullen, they've asked for prayers for their daughter Leslie, who has CIDP, a rare autoimmune neurological disease, and just started infusions to try to arrest the progression of the disease. Pray for healing and a hopeful attitude. So we want to lift those prayers up to you. Okay? I was remiss last week. The newlyweds are here. Here they are. Tyler and Raquel were married right here last week. So they're starting their marital journey. And there they are, right? Still together after a week. There we go. All right. So let's open with prayer if we can today. Heavenly Father, we just come to you and we want to seek your face during this time. God, there's so much stuff that goes on in life, so many areas of concern and distraction. And God, really, the only thing that is truly important is connecting to you, having a relationship with you, and just doing life with you. And so, God, right now, we just ask that you lift us up out of whatever area we're in, and that we can just celebrate you, that we'll sing heartily. We'll use our hands that you gave us. We use our voices, no matter how terrible they may be, to glorify you, because it says make a joyful noise. And God, we will just keep our, as John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, one eye to the words and one eye to you. And so God, let us just worship and glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's all stand up and worship the Lord.
You guys ready to worship this morning with me?
Go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you all hearts will praise, through you the darkness flee, through you my heart screams, I am free. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free. Oh, I want to run. I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside. I want to reach out and touch the flame where the streets have no name. Oh, I want to feel sunlight on my face. I see the dust cloud disappear without a trace. I wanna take shelter from the poison rain, where the streets have no name. Oh, where the streets have no name. Where the streets have no name. We're still building and burning. Go there with you. It's all I can do. Through you the kingdom comes. Through you the battle's won. Through you I'm not afraid. No. Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Through you, my soul sings, I am free. Oh, yeah. Never been blown by the wind. Blown by the wind. I go there with. All right, one more time. Through the blind will see.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free, yeah. Oh.
That'll wake you up.
You out sing me on this one. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fades. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
What do you guys think it out?
And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Just rage. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone in these open seas. 'Cause your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. But your love never fails.
And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. You make all things work together for my good. Tell them that. You make all things work together for my good.
You believe it?
You make all things work together for my good.
Come on now, you make.
You make all things work together for my good.
Come on and sing.
You make all things work together for my good.
One more time, here we go.
Yeah. You make all things work together for my good.
You said.
And you stay the same through the ages. Changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
Thank you.
Everybody together now. Here we go.
You make all things work together for my good.
Let's hear it. Give him a shout out.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Everybody, one more time.
You make all things work together for my good.
filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mansion of your name. I'm filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mansion of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. And is to come. Yeah. Before creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
There's a sweet spirit of God just moving right now. So we're going to just continue in worship. And part of that worship is going to be offering. If you're visiting, we don't expect you to give anything. We just want you to keep worshiping. Just give your worship to God. And offering is a part of that. So God, you bless this stuff. And we're just going to keep on worshiping you, okay? Anybody sound good to everybody? I just want you to keep standing and worshiping.
A Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. When I stand in His face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place.
Thank you.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Thank you. Your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done, and leaving your Spirit to the work on.
God, we know you're moving right now as we speak. I thank you that you move in the words of old hymns. I thank you that you move in the words of a man like Keith Green, who gave his life up in service to you. I thank you that you move in people modern today. But God, I thank you most of all that you are moving in the people who are in the sound of my voice right now. And so, God, we just praise you. We are excited about what you have for us today. Let us not just forget that we are here to meet with you and to receive what you have for us, but not only receive, but to give you all the mess that we've got. It's a great trade-in. And so, God, thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Amen. At this time, we're going to allow our children, and I just ask you to go ahead to our Sunday school, Haven Kids, and those around you, just say hello to, and then we'll continue with service.
Yeah, I know.
You hear that?
Yeah. They knew this song pretty well. Huh? They knew this song. This is, I think, well, it's
you, probably, you probably have some people like Wes and those guys who really came to Christ in the 60s, 70s.
Oh, yeah. Well, this, I mean, that's like in some churches, that's still in the hymn book.
Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness.
right, everyone. Good morning again. We're glad that you're here. We are in week 5, believe it or not. When we go ahead and we plan out series like this, I say, oh, wow, 5-6 weeks, and that's going to be a long time. And before I know it, we're up on the last one. But after Easter, we wanted to go ahead and try to have we always like to have a small group study church-wide, and we've been doing it based off of this little book here that was put together by Pastor Andy Stanley, and it's called What Makes You Happy? And the more I get into this, the more I find out how miserable I am. Anybody else with me here on this? So there's a lot of things, and I could have saved a lot of time and asked my family, and they probably would have told me as well. But we are in week 5 of the 6-week series. We will be finishing up next week, and we'll talk about that. But one thing that's interesting is something over the years that has really been interesting to me. It's been heartbreaking at some moments, and it's really been very sad at some times, is when I've talked with people over the years, and this year, I think I'll be beginning year 24 in ministry, and when I talk to people, and I end up having ones and people that you talk to, and you see them constantly wrecking their own happiness. Anybody ever know people like that? That you can see for them. It's always easier to see for somebody else, am I right? That's one thing. But you can see for them what's going on, and you can share, and you can be there, and they'll be like, okay, and then they'll wreck their own happiness time and time again. And, you know, a lot of us may find it difficult to really be happy at all. Many of us do. Many of us may have even said the statement, I've just realized that I'm not going to be happy ever. Somebody may have felt that way before. And it reminded me of a woman who was walking on a California beach and was deep in prayer when all of a sudden a loud voice from God said, I am the Lord and I will grant you one wish. Well, she was like flabbergasted. And as beautiful as the beach was, she had always wanted to go back and forth to Hawaii because that was her favorite place. And she said, God, I would like you to build me a bridge that I can drive over anytime I would like to. Well, the Lord answered and said, that request is very materialistic, number one. And think of all the logistics that go into that, all the undertaking, the supports that will have to go deeper than ever in history, in the bottom of the Pacific, the concrete and steel that would take, all that stuff. I can do it, but it's just hard for me to justify such a worldly thing. Said, is there anything else that I can grant your wish? And she thought, and she said, well, can you make my husband happy? He said, when would you like that bridge, 2 lanes or 4 lanes? All right. So many of us are like that, aren't we? Many of us live with people or exist with people that are just constantly miserable, and they never know what is going to make them happy at all. We had the scripture that is read for us today, and I really believe that in all the different parts, if you missed one of the series, check them out online or on our app, because we want to make sure that you keep up to date with us. But we really have a confusion that exists in our minds between two words and two concepts, and it's these two words right here, pleasure and happiness. And what I realize is that there is enough pain in life without self-inflicting pain on ourselves. But we never learn from it. We constantly go ahead and self-inflict pain for us. That's what makes this statement by Jesus so really, really important. And because we find out that Jesus is and was for you constantly. And anybody, and let me just start with this, anybody who is willing to die for you is for you. Right? That's one thing we need to know. If somebody is willing to die for you, then they are for you. Some of us have friends that say, oh, I will always be with you. I'll be there for you no matter what. And then if something happens, they're the first ones out the door. Anybody Seinfeld fans, you know, George Costanza, when the fire happens in the kids' room, they're gone, right? We have those friends like that. Jesus had a lot of them. They were called the disciples, okay? They all bolted when the going got tough. Jesus said something to us, and he gave us this wonderful promise in John 16:33. He said, in this world you will have trouble. Have a great week, everyone. You know, I mean, if that won't make you miserable, I don't know what does. But he did follow that up by saying, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But if you're like me, at times it doesn't feel like it. At times you just don't see it. You don't see it. And that's not a motivational thing, that in this world you will have trouble, because we live in a time of Christianity where we think if we come to Christ, everything should be peachy dandy and skipping through the roses. If you, and this is what makes biblical illiteracy all that more important. If you find out the disciples had a heck of a lot more problems after they followed Jesus and after they got on board with the Holy Spirit, they all died a martyr's death except for one. Now, I don't know about you. If somebody said, I was going to do that, they said, come to my house and you can be a martyr, I'm going to go, no, okay? But that's what they did, because it was greater. They connected to something greater than who they were. And that's what Jesus wants to tell us. And so today we're going to deal with this relationship between these two words, pleasure and happiness. And we're going to start with the verse that Wes read to us from John 10:10, where it tells us, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, do you know who the thief is? The thief is anyone or anything whose intent is to take from you what you value and brings life to you. Because what Jesus is saying, the thief comes only to steal. So if I came into your house and took your valuables and left, you would call me a thief. There we go. And you wouldn't be like, oh, come on back in. I got more stuff you missed. Come on. Here's my key, the keys to my car. You wouldn't do that. If I went in and I killed somebody, chances are you're not going to say, oh, no, it's all good. Come back and kill some more. You're not going to do that. Am I right? And if I went in and I lit your whole house on fire, you're not going to go get marshmallows, right? Yet we do that all the time in our lives by allowing stuff to come into our lives that steal from us, that kill parts of our lives, and that also destroy parts of our lives. We do it time and time again. And guess who has the most potential to take value from you, to kill and to destroy in your life? Go ahead and look in the mirror. Every day you see the person, when you get up and you look in the mirror, that's the one who has the most power to do that. It is the same answer for everyone. I do. I have the most power, the most influence in my life to go ahead and to kill, rob, and destroy my life. This is a happy sermon today, isn't it? I thought you said the topic was happiness. I'm getting there, all right? But we have that ability, and here's the thing. Most of us use it often to do those things. We like to think other people make us miserable. We like to think other people steal our happiness. But the bottom line, it comes down to the most influential is us. Now, other people do have an influence, but the biggest one is us. We have the most potential. Most of us have this comment, and we say this, I am my own worst enemy. Has anybody ever said that? Maybe if you haven't said it, you believe it. And here's the bad news. It's true. We are our worst own enemies. You have done things to undermine and have a greater capacity to undermine your own happiness than anyone else. And you may say, well, what are you talking about, Jack? And I'm gonna give you an example. Because chances are you leased it, you bought it, you drank it, you smoked it, you ate it, you dated it, you slept with it, and some of you married it. Right? Not one of us forced you into any of that stuff. But every one of us have done that. So now you're on board with me, right? Okay, so we see that. We are our worst enemies. You did it to yourself. Everyone, your individual is the common denominator in all those and many other things. And that's why Jesus says in John 10:10, and you see what he says. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But, he says, I have come that they may have life. Now, what's very interesting here is you can kind of see that Jesus is speaking to people, but he's not getting the reaction that he likes. He says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life. And they all went, huh? What's he talking about? Kind of like the look I'm seeing right now. All right? But he added this to it. He said, I came that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I'm going to tell you, this translation is horrific. Some of you grew up in the King James only time, and it says, I came that you may have life and have it. That's a better one, but it still doesn't give us what we need. Jesus said, I came to give you, boom, the greatest amount of life that's possible. That great part there. Then he continues on, and he says this in verse 11. He said, I want your life to go ahead. I want you to be wowed in your life. I want people to see you and go, wow, not by anything on the outside. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but just that there's something on the inside that begins to flow outward, and people say, my gosh, what do they have? Okay? And so he continues on and says, I am the good shepherd. Now, that doesn't mean much to us. Doesn't mean much to us at all. There's a great book written many years ago about a shepherd's approach to the 23rd Psalm. It's excellent, excellent book where it breaks it down. But back then, they would understand that. Now, because they're sitting there, he says, he said, the thief comes to rob, kill, steal, boom, 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 destroy. And I came that you have life. And they go, uh-huh. And he says, and I came that you have a life and have it abundantly. And they go, all right. He said, I'm the good shepherd. They go, okay, we recognize that. Okay, I get the shepherd. And he's not just a shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. They understood that. It is the good shepherd. He didn't say, I'm the shepherd. I'm the normal shepherd. And here's what he says the good shepherd does. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, let me share something with you here. Jesus also referred to himself as the gate, all right, or as the door. What would happen during this time is they would kind of get often into a cave area, and they would herd the sheep back in there for the night, and they didn't have a door that they could lock, so a good shepherd would lay themselves down in front of the opening. The only way you're getting in is to get in through the good shepherd. So what Jesus says is, I am the good shepherd. I'm going to keep y'all safe. You're going to have this life, and it's not going to be great, but guess what? It's going to be abundant because I'm laying my life down for you and in protection of you. Isn't that cool? So now we're getting a little bit more about what Jesus says. So what we see is, I'm going to say it again, if anyone lays their life down for you, they are for you. If anyone gives their life for you, they are for you. Now, contrast that with the thief that Jesus started talking about. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, but I come to lay my life down for you so that you can have life abundantly. Total different point here. And so what we're seeing here is we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make. Are we going to follow the thief? Are we going to welcome the thief into our lives? Are we going to become the thief for our own life? Or are we going to follow the good shepherd who wants to lay down his life for me? You see, there's a problem that's here, though, too. Is Jesus, if he's used, we're taking this metaphor seriously. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are sheep. And sheep are dumb. Sheep have this history of being some of the dumbest animals on planet Earth. Welcome to how God thinks about us, okay? And he still loves us. Okay? Why? Let me go back to this list. You say, Jack, I'm not dumb. Let's look. Why? Because I'm going to give you the list. I'm going to let you see it. You bought it. You drank it. You leased it. You ate it. You smoked it. You dated it. And you're glad I don't have more slide on here because it's going to fill those things. Am I right? We are sheep. We do bad things. All the time, right? We always do. Yes, we make some bad decisions. And you may be your own worst enemy. But I want to share with you today, you're not your only enemy. You're not the only enemy. You may be your worst one, but you're not your only enemy. Because the New Testament writers kind of personified or went ahead and used this concept and told us about this powerful entity that exists in the world that we don't like to talk about, and it's a little word called sin. We don't like that. That's not good today. That's not good today. I'm going to tell you why it's not good today. They wanted to use this to show that it's almost like an entity in itself, sin. And here's what sin does. We talked about this the other week. Sin always separates. Always separates. It always separates us from the three things that we've been talking about, getting right and being happy. It separates us from God. It separates us from others, and it even separates us from ourselves. So for instance, something happens in life that we sin and we end up somewhere. I can just go ahead and pick out the prodigal son from Luke's gospel, and you can see how sin separated him from the father. Although the father was always there waiting. In our lives, many of us have had prodigal moments. And maybe living right now prodigal lives that we are far away from God the Father. He's still waiting, but sin separates us from God. Some of us, sin, any arguments you've ever had in relationships with people, it's because you think they wronged you and they think you wronged them. Because sin entered that relationship and it caused a conflict and broke you apart. It's called sin. And in yourself, you may be constantly in conflict with yourself and constantly doing all those things because sin is in the midst of your life and disconnects you from who God has intended for you to believe. And you may have said, I can't even live with myself if that happened. Right? Sin separates. And sin is the enemy in and outside, in addition to the one that we fully look in the mirror. And this is nothing new. So far, I've given you nothing new today. Sin comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And so what you're doing right now is you're not saying, okay, Jack, you gave me new information. You're just wondering why we do that same dumb stuff over and over again. Bah. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he was a sheep too. He said, why is it the good that I want to do, I never do, but I always do the bad that I don't want to do. In other words, he's saying, why am I doing this? Bah. Because a big part of this is the confusion over these two words, pleasure and happiness. Pleasure and happiness. Now, I want to tell you something really cool. God created us for the capacity for both. Somewhere along the line, Christians thought that in order to be happy, we had to be miserable. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember? Don't you smile in church. Oh, don't you clap. Anybody get that? Right? I love God and I'm happy about it. Right? I got to tell you, some of the most miserable people I've ever met attend church every week. Right? And will tell you how good of a Christian they are. And if you don't like it, they'll smack you on the head, right? Somewhere along the line, we thought that we can't enjoy God, that we can't enjoy the life that he gave to us. But he said abundantly, abundantly. If you give me everything, you say, I give you this, but I can't enjoy it, and I can't laugh, and I can't smile, I'm going to be miserable. I am the person who finds fun in every situation. If you put me on the Titanic, I'm making jokes. That's just who I am. It's who I am. And so God created us for that capacity. I mean, look at the intimacy he has with married couples that God's given to us. That's a good thing. Can you imagine him saying, hey, I gave them this. This is really cool. They're going to like this. And then what about Jesus' first miracle that we refer? His first miracle was turning water into wine. That doesn't fit in a lot of people's theology. But that was the first thing. They say, Jesus, his first miracle, what are you going to do? I'm going to turn water into wine. Really? Now, do you want to do that? Because there's going to be prohibition at one day. Some people are going to get really nervous. Maybe some Christians are talking about, no, yeah, I'm cool with it. Okay, Jesus is good to have a party. Yeah, make some wine. You know, I mean, that's the first thing that he did. Why? Because if they had run out, the people would have been completely disrespected. And so Mary, the mother of Jesus, does a great thing that a mom comes and says, hey, do something. And he says, it's not my time. She completely ignores him and says, do whatever he tells you to do. That's a mom moment, right? And he turned water into wine. That's a fun guy. Some of you like wine a lot. And you're like, yeah, way to go, Jesus, right? Right? God gave you a humor and laughter to share with, to say things about. Why should the world have all the fun? Right? You see, it's not an either or here. And some of us, that's going to be hard for us right now, that we thought we needed to be happy or with God, or we need to have pleasure and not God. But it's not either or. You see, God, that statement of God doesn't want you happy, he wants you holy, is stupid. It's dumb. But we've heard that, haven't we? And worse than hearing it, we have believed it and we've based denominational dogma on it. And it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not a question of either or. It's a question of what is our priority? What is our priority here? And so what happens is if we ever prioritize pleasure over our happiness, it will eventually lead us to neither. You see, we live in a pleasure culture, and we want pleasure, and we want it right now. But if we prioritize, oh, I want pleasure over happiness, it'll end up being neither. One leads to the other, but the other undermines the other. Happiness eventually leads to great pleasure, because happiness is about being at peace. Remember the last couple of weeks? Being at peace with God, ourselves, and others. Remember this. And so when we're at peace with God, ourselves, and others, that makes us happy, and happiness leads to pleasure regardless of circumstance in life. But if we seek pleasure, pleasure will run out of pleasure's sake. Eventually, pleasure loses its pleasure and becomes a prison. For instance, every pleasure, when it becomes a priority, it loses its pleasure. Like, for instance, some pleasure that you started may have started as a pastime. It may have gone to a pathway. Then it may have become a habit, may have led to an addiction, and then it imprisons you. Now, we go and like to say, oh, that's a story of addiction, but we got a lot of these things in our lives. It doesn't always have to be something that's illegal or immoral. It could be. But sometimes it may just be that we put the pleasure of the things with our children and the pleasure of the things we like to do in life over the happiness that we can have in God. And we do it all the time. Look around the world around you. The world around you, time and time again. You see, social media now tells on wayward Christians. It does. Some of you have them on Facebook. Some of you have them on Snapchat. And they're having a pleasurable time. But that pleasure leads to something else and leads to something else. And eventually, they're so caught up in the pleasure that it has a hold on their lives. And how do I know? Because they give their money, their time, their effort, their attention, all to it. And God is over here. And when they see me, they run or they say, oh, can't wait to get back to church. What do I do with that? What am I supposed to do with that? Me too. I don't know. What am I supposed to do with that? What? Somebody help me here. I need help with this. Because this happens. I can't wait to get back to church. Like, I think Wayne has one of the great answers. What people would see Wayne, particularly when we first started church, and they'd see him in Walmart or something, and they hadn't been in church in a while, and they say, oh, we haven't been in church in a while because, and Wayne goes, I don't care, right? He doesn't. He's a Marine. Let him go. All right, he'd be like, I don't care. You know, because he didn't. You know, the bottom line is, whatever it is, you're putting some pleasure in your life over the happiness that you can have with God. And that's what it comes down to, the bottom line. This is why what the Apostle Paul said, he understood this. And here's what he wrote. He's writing to Christians in Rome who are dealing with some of this. And he said, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one that you obey? And I love how the Apostle Paul often starts with this. Don't you know? Don't you know? He knows they don't know, right? He's talking to other sheep. They don't know. And he says, hey, come on. Really? Come on. Really? It's common sense. This is common sense here. Don't you know that if you offer yourself to something, you become a slave to that? And you say, well, wait a second, Jack, I'm choosing to do that. All right, you will. Eventually, we choose something, but then after we choose it for a while, it begins to choose us and holds on to us. Some of you have seen people that you worshiped with, that you were in Bible study with, that began with a little, well, it could have been even that they began with some of those nasty people in the church that kind of pushed them a little way, and they used that as an excuse to go ahead and do something else that's not illegal, may not be immoral, may be pleasurable, because they enjoy doing it, and before you know it, their lives have changed completely, and that thing and other things have their hooks into them, and they are now a slave to what they have given themselves to. So the Apostle Paul says that you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or disobedience, which leads to righteousness. what we've talked about, sin, here's the great thing that you need to know. Sin always kills stuff. Sin always leads to death. Sin kills your view of yourself. Sin kills your marriage relationship and kills your relationship with your kids. Sin kills your relationship with your friends, your employers, your fellow coworkers. Sin always destroys those relationships. It always kills. Its goal is to always kill. Now, it may take a while. You may have fun riding on that. We don't even have to say sin. We can say pleasure. You may have fun riding on that pleasure, but eventually it's going to kill something in your life if we had it out of whack. So when we say yes to that pleasure repeatedly, we become a slave to that thing. So again, here's our choice. Do we say yes to that, or do we say yes to God, the Good Shepherd, who's willing to lay down his life for you? Because as we made this statement a couple weeks ago up here, and it said, peace with God paves the way to peace with ourselves, and it equips us to make peace with others. So peace with God paves the way. Peace with ourselves equips us to make peace with others. All happy people definitely have the bottom two, peace with themselves and peace with others. Many people, I'm not going to say everybody, many people who have peace with God are there. That is the definition of happiness. Right there. Peace with God, yourself, and others. And I got to tell you, I struggle every day to find it. You see, because most of the time, I think I'm pretty good in a couple areas. I think I'm really good with God. I do. I think I got a pretty good peace with God. Like if he zapped me out of here today, right at this moment, I'd be like, hey, God, we're cool, right? He'd be like, yep, come on in, right? I'm good with God. For the most part, I'm pretty much at peace with others. Even, I saw somebody yesterday I can't stand. They were an evil church person that backstabbed me for years. Not around here, somewhere else. You don't know them. Don't try to guess. All right? And I saw him, and I went over him. I grabbed him around the neck. I went over, and I did grab him around the neck. I hugged him. I said something like, you know, that small talk, oh, you two don't change, must be the air where you live, blah, blah, blah. And then I walked away and was like, jerk. Okay, yeah. All right, I made sure I didn't have a mic on, but I got it out. God forgave me. It's all good, okay? Just being real, okay? So I'm pretty good with others, but I say probably the thing that I struggle with the peace the most is peace with myself. I struggle with the biggest amount of peace with who I am, what I am, where I'm headed, what I'm doing, where I came from, what goes on in this demented head at times. That's where I struggle day in and day out, second by second by second. And I pray that God will someday help me get to peace with myself so I can fully have the life abundantly that he promises. Because guess what? There are times when I'm really not happy. There are more times when I would say I'm probably not happy. I'm probably more unhappy than I am happy. And it's not because of God. It's not because of other people all the time. Sometimes other people. But for the most part, I am my own worst enemy to my happiness. You with me? Okay. Jesus had a way of saying this. Because when we put pleasure over happiness, we're having no pleasure at all. And so here's what Jesus said. Jesus' way of saying this is sow better, to reap better, so that you can feel better. And that doesn't happen. Here's the problem with today. The problem with today is we want something right away. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot find happiness and get it right away. It doesn't happen. Oh, you can find pleasure right away. And that's the appeal to pleasure. I can get instant gratification. Bam, got it. But what I have learned, that when you get the instant gratification, it's not, you reap a whole level of other kind of mess, and immediately you won't feel better. You will feel worse in the long run. Why? Because sin and pleasure eventually kill. Everybody following along with me today? Because this is really important stuff. We feel unhappy and we immediately want to feel happy. And so we say, I'm going to go ahead. And like I said, here's a list of, because we're all going through our mind right now thinking of the real bad things. But we go through our mind and say, I'm lonely. I don't get it. I don't feel good. I don't feel unhappy. I'm going to go shop. Right? Or I'm going to go call that person that's going to get me this and that's going to happen. Boom. Instant gratification. Or I'm going to take that drug, or I'm going to eat that. Or some of us are depression eaters, right? We just gain weight. Some of you are not. Some of you are like, I need to lose weight. I'm going to get depressed, right? You do that kind of thing. But these are the things that we do right away. And when we make bad decisions, it undermines our happiness completely. Jesus told us there is no quick fix, because that would be like sowing a seed and the next day going, come on, corn, I'm ready to eat. Doesn't happen. You sow, you water. You sow, you water, you plant, and then when the time is right, then you harvest, and then you feel better. You following this pattern? Jesus said there's no quick fix. There's no immediate accessibility to happiness. We sow and we reap. And if you say yes over and over to that pleasure for a quick fix, it will undermine your happiness, because you will become a slave to that pleasure. Sow better, to reap better, to eventually feel better. And when we're not feeling it, we reach for that quick fix and for what we know. This is why we say, and why churches should say, we follow Jesus, because when we follow Jesus, Jesus makes your life better. We want it immediately. But it's about sowing, 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 to reap, to feel better. So I'm going to finish this up today with asking two questions, because y'all got to have homework. And this is not one of these things, yeah, I'm going to answer it because I'm here and go on. No, I want you to, I don't even care what anybody next to you knows. If you're struggling with this answer, if you live with the person next to you, ask them, they'll tell you. And they may not know. But the question I want you to answer honestly for you, because you will never, ever have the happiness and the fullness and the abundance of God until you answer this honestly and get at peace with God, yourself, and others. And so here's what it is. Is there a pleasure that is undermining your happiness? Is there a pleasure that is undermining your happiness? Like you think, I tell you, you think about it a lot. You look for it. You seek it out. You desire it. And you feel good in the hunt for it. And then often it leaves you wanting afterwards. But as you're in the hunt for it, it's slowly making you its slave, time and time again. So what is that? Or what is the thing that is beginning to affect your happiness? Or what is beginning to affect that you are in quest for, that pleasure that is affecting the happiness of those that around you that you love and that love you? What is that pleasure that you said yes to so much that you have no happiness? And if you keep saying yes to it, you are that thief, stealing, killing, and destroying what God wants to place in your life. Let me say it one more other way as we wrap this up. And here it is. Is there a pleasure that is slowly taking you prisoner? Slowly taking you prisoner. Today you can trade your pleasure for the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I laid down my life for the sheep. He wants to give you a new life, one that is abundant. He wants to give you a life that is full. He promised us that in this world we're going to have what? Trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. We need to get our pleasure and our happiness in the right priority. Start with peace with God, yourself, and others. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all other things are added to you as well. Notice he doesn't say, seek pleasure of the world and then tack God in. We got to get our priorities right, don't we? All right, let's stand up and let's worship. We've had an awesome day of worship, and we're going to continue that one right here. I think this song is extremely fitting for what we just shared. And let's just worship the Lord. And if you want to, the altar's open for you, and you can just pray and just seek God in everything. Thank you.
dwells in me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through.
He wants to hear you sing, there's a Redeemer again. Somebody here needs to hear it. Somebody here needs to recognize that Jesus came to lay his life down for you. All that stuff means nothing because you have a good shepherd. So we got to get at peace with him. And he came to lay his life down. And I want you know it now, if you didn't. Sound like you knew it already. But the amazing Keith Green, who wrote the song, made a decision one day and he never turned back. Never turned back. And I want you to hear that today. I want you to make that decision, that he understood who his Redeemer was. So when that plane went down with a family of six and his son and his young son and daughter, and he left this world, he was present with the Lord God Almighty. Because there's a Redeemer and his name is Jesus Christ. So worship him now. Whatever heaviness you have, just let it go and let God do an amazing thing. And let's worship him.
There is a Redeemer.
Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
This verse here always gets me, because it's going to happen one day, and I know. But also I know that this was played at Keith Green's funeral. This verse here, and they knew he was right there. And all those people who knew and loved Jesus and knew he was the Redeemer, they lived this out. And you can too if you open up your life to Christ.
When I stand in glory, I will see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. And the work on earth is done.
Thank you, oh my Father. Amen. All right. God was here today. If you missed it, hang around. All right. Next week, we're going to wrap this up. And you can see right here, you're not enough. You're not enough, but he is. Amen. Have a great week in Jesus. And may you come. If you need to talk about anything, or whatever, there's people here that are willing to pray with you. Say hello to someone. Say hello to someone.
I don't know where to go from here. It all used to seem so clear.